Final Four is here. BetDSI is your only place to bet on it. If you go to BetDSI, you put in promo code TAKE10, you get a $10 free play on Pardon My Take. So go to BetDSI.com, put in promo code TAKE10, and you get the free play. I'd probably put it on Syracuse at this point. I think they're a team of destiny. Might as well throw it some long shot odds. Have them win. I think I saw 10-1 to win the tournament. That's just two games. That's a nice little payday. So put $10 for your free play on Syracuse. Make it $100. Then thank us later. Let's go. We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Working so hard like a soldier. Can't afford a thing on TV. Deep in my heart I abhor ya. Can't get food for the kid. Good God, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Monday, March 28th. We have a lot of NCAA basketball to get to. We actually brought back Mark Titus, a.k.a. Club Trillion, onto the show to break down the Final Four and everything that happened this past weekend. So
love
we will get to that in a minute. Before we get to that, some breaking news. Not so breaking news, but breaking because it's the first time we've talked. I think J.J. Watt and I are friends now.
So here's what I don't like, Big Cat. I don't like the fact that you skipped right over suicidal Big Cat after the loss and jumped
okay,
right into
that.
Like ecstatic. I'm best friends with J.J. Watt,
okay.
Big Cat.
All right, let's rewind because you're right. I owe it to everyone to give them my emotions from Friday night quickly. I think I said on this show that Wisconsin has an uncanny ability to get my hopes up and like get me to a point where I'm not expecting to get crushed. Mm-hmm. So, and then they crush me, and it happens every time. It happens with football and basketball every single year. And this year I was saying that it was all gravy. I never expected them to be in the tournament. So I almost was like, there's no way that they can crush my hopes. Then they hit that three with 26 yep. seconds left, and I turned to my friends at the bar, and I said, holy shit, Wisconsin's going to the Elite Eight. And then you saw what happened. So
yeah.
It was true Wisconsin form that I didn't see that kind of collapse happening or coming, and it just came right like a ton of bricks right across my face and killed me.
I saw that three-pointer, and at that point, I turned my TV off, and I was pissed off, and I just walked out the door to go to dinner. And I was mad. The only reason I was mad is because I wanted suicidal Big Cat, right? And
so well, you wanted it tonight. You should have rooted for – see, this is your problem. You should have rooted for Wisconsin because suicidal Big Cat would have come out tonight when UNC would have undoubtedly beaten us by 100 points.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like if Wisconsin loses by 3 points – it's a lot worse for your psyche and your mental state than losing by 20 points because you've checked out at halftime in the UNC case.
It's fair.
So like,
that's fair.
I was upset when they hit that three because I wanted to treat myself to you basically like wanting to end your life on our podcast. And that would have been great fun for me. And I felt like I was going to get robbed by it. But then Wisconsin has like a heartbreaking loss. And so now my hopes are up again, right? And then right after that, J.J. Watt tweets at you. And what does he say? What does J.J. Watt say to you? Something like, let's go chop wood together and get a workout, brother? Like
so
something crazy?
So question here, I'll read the exact tweet. I think it's still his top tweet. No big deal. He said, it's all right, buddy. We'll just go chop some trees and hit the gym to forget about it. Hashtag perspective. So is he self-aware?
Yeah, so the hashtag perspective tells me that he absolutely is. Listens to everything that you say about him.
Right.
You went from being suicidal Big Cat to ecstatic Big Cat because now you've got a new best friend in J.J. Watt. And that kind – I feel like that was a little bit selfish on J.J. Watt's part to, like, steal all of our thunder and making fun of you and, like, just jump in and be your white knight. But
Let me clarify something with J.J. Watt right now. I love the tweet. I've always said if he could just have a little self-awareness, I'd quickly become Team J.J. Watt. Because if he could just laugh at himself and be like a regular person, he would be, he'd be a very likable guy, you know? If he could just show some element of being a human being and not a superhero. So this was the first time he did that. Now, if this is all he does, I'm going to go back to hating him probably like by lunchtime on Monday, because you can't just like briefly become self-aware just to get credit for it and then hop back into superhero J.J. Watt. And I said, if he comes on the show, and I know that's probably a little selfish of me to be like, dude, you got to come on the show for me to stop being like incredibly mean to you. But that's I'm kind of like a social media terrorist in that way. Like like you have to deal with me one way or the other. Either you're going to deal with me on the podcast or you're going to deal with me being really mean to you. So it's out there. Hopefully he comes on. It would humanize J.J. Watt.
If I'm putting money on it, I'm saying that he's not going to come on the show and that he's just doing this as a one-time thing to like try to get a brief amount of credit, but not really following up on it. Because back in like a year ago, almost a year ago today, I got a DM from J.J. Watt when I wrote that article comparing him to Hitler. And I said like his signature looked like it was S.S. Watt, and that there were all these like different links between him and Hitler. He wrote, here's the DM that he wrote me. Love the constant ribbing from you. Never fails! Exclamation point. Wouldn't it be fun if there weren't a few detractors out there. Keep on keeping on, brother. So he sent me that, right? That was a DM, which I think a DM actually means more than like the tweet that you got.
Oh, come on.
If we're gonna be ranking like who's better friends with J.J. Watt, I'd say it's probably me. But then I responded to him 1, 2, 3, 4, four times. Four times, and he never wrote back to me after that.
That's you can do four. You can do two. You can't do four. Once you have three like blue like bubbles and no response, you're done. You have to be done.
Well, to be fair, all four of them were me like telling him, hey, come on my radio show. And well, no, there was one I said I was gonna be in Houston. We should hang out, listen to some Styles of Beyond and get a quick workout in together and eat avocados all weekend and breakfast food. That he didn't respond to. But, you know, maybe he will treat you a little bit better than he treated me. I'm just saying don't count on it.
All right. So let's do percentages. What is everyone here? Hank, you got to answer as well. Percentage chance J.J. Watt ever appears on Pardon My Take. Anyone want to chime in here? Or are we just going to go dead air?
I thought that was Hank. I thought you were asking Hank.
Yeah, all of us.
I'll give you 25% that he goes on the show.
Hank?
90%.
Wow. 90.
Hank is confident.
This is why I have Hank around. Hank's a believer. Hank is always a believer in me, and I'm a believer in Hank, so we believe in each other, and we always like raise each other up like that. So I kind of expected that from Hank. I'll split the difference. I'm going to say there's like a – I guess it wouldn't be splitting the difference, but 42% chance he's going to come on.
Okay. So I have one little piece of breaking news from Wisconsin that maybe you didn't hear about during the game. But the day of the game, I'd say like this looks like 3 hours before tip-off. Your boy Bronson Koenig was being pretty active on Instagram. I don't know if you saw this. It says BKoenig_24 started following Pornhub 3 hours before tip-off. My question is, did that affect his game? And if so, did it affect it positively or negatively? Because we all had coaches. I had a coach in high school that would tell our players not to have sex during the season. Like that was his – our football coach would actually tell us that. And nobody listened to it. But he genuinely believed that like the less you have sex, the angrier you get. And I think that there's something to that. And so if Bronson was like just straight up rubbing one out before the game, that might be the reason you guys lost.
I don't think you follow Pornhub on Instagram to jerk off. That's more like you're just following it to have it in your feed to like maybe
– no.
You go to Pornhub to jerk off. Mm. You don't follow it on Instagram. Instagram, you can't even show tits.
It could be a casual or like a mistake follow. So he might
have – no, that was a real follow.
He might have been cruising the page and rubbing one out, and he accidentally followed. That's what I'm betting.
that's just doing a little research. He like basically brought, like when you follow Pornhub on the Instagram, it's like buying that, you know, that one fantasy football magazine you buy like in August. You're like, okay, I'm going to really do some research now. He's just looking, he's just keeping up on like the new stuff that might come out on Pornhub without going to actually be on Pornhub. Like he's not actually going to the fantasy football draft, if that makes sense.
I don't know how many – I don't know. It doesn't make that much sense to me because I don't know how many people are just casual followers of Pornhub out there. Like I think most – I think 99% of the people that follow Pornhub are like the most deviant people on planet Earth that you never want to hang out with.
Let me ask you this.
This account's pretty weak. It's a pretty weak account. I'm looking at it right now.
What's going on with Pornhub account? What's on there? What kind of stuff?
There's just like – memes, like thinking about ass, like when she says she, and then like so, selfies, yeah. But nothing crazy.
Okay, so I'm right. Like Instagram, so maybe it was just a casual thing. Now let me ask you this: what would affect a game more, following the Pornhub Instagram account a couple hours before a tip, or doing an interview on Pardon My Take, and having like some stories go viral from it? Just hypothetically,
Hypothetically speaking, I would say dropping some hot takes about your former teammate and getting him really mad at you before the game might be a little bit more detrimental. Like you're walking out of your you're walking out of your pregame shoot around and like Morrison's just standing with his arms folded watching you walk into the tunnel.
This is hypothetical.
Just like, and you know Morrison's got guns, so like that's not a guy that you want to piss off. At least the Pornhub account admin, they're not packing heat that we know of.
True. But I'll say this. The Wisconsin loss, to go full circle, I expected it, but I didn't expect it, if that makes sense. I expected them to lose in a tragic way, but as always, I bring my guard down at the last possible second, and then it happens. And we'll see what happens with J.J. Watt. I also have like people, not to name drop here, not to Wilbon here, but I have people who know him who I was like, pass my number along, just pass it along. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
He has a way to get in touch with me.
You lost a game, you gained a best friend. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. A temporary best friend. It depends on how long this self-awareness kick sticks in for him. All right. Let's do what you got an ad and then we'll go into Titus.
Well, yeah. So I want to talk about Lisa mattresses because they're pretty cool, and people have been chirping at me all week saying that I'm not supposed to call it Avena TM phone. I guess it's just Avena foam, and the TM is for trademark. So I appreciate all the help, but this is my ad, and I'll read it however the hell I want. Lisa has done away with the awkward mattress showroom experience that we've all suffered through by creating luxury mattress that's ordered completely online and shipped for free to your doorstep, compressed in a box the size of a mini fridge. The 10-inch mattress comes in all sizes and is crafted with three unique foam layers, including 2 inches of memory foam, and you get 2 inches of a really cool latex foam called Avena TM that's perforated to keep you cool as the other side of the pillow. And if you're a sweater like I am in your sleep, you need a mattress like that because otherwise you wake up and you feel like you're in Vietnam. So like you got to have the Avena TM keeping you nice and breezy. The mattress is 100% made in the U.S. and ships for free to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Lisa gives you 100 nights to try your mattress risk-free, and for every 10 they sell, they donate one to a shelter. So go to leesa.com/pardonmytake and enter promo code pardonmytake at checkout to get $75 off.
You crushed it. That's a solid A.
Was it a solid A this time?
Yeah, solid.
I don't know, we didn't have a really good segue going into it, but I feel I needed to get that off my chest about the Avena
TM. Well, to be honest, I didn't listen to anything you said, and I just wanted to kind of just pump your tires. I feel like you were down a little bit about the whole J.J. Watt thing, being my best friend and not yours. So you crush that ad. Hey, listen, J.J. Watt might be my best friend, but that Lisa ad you just read was so good. So we really both kind of won.
All right. I appreciate that.
Okay. Now we'll bring it to Mark Titus back on the show.
And we are back on Pardon My Take. We've got Club Trillion Mark Titus back on the phone with us to talk about the NCAA tournament. Mark is he's making his return to Pardon My Take, the first repeat guest that we've ever had.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is true, right?
Chris Long was going to, but then the Patriots basically shut him down for life. So,
oh my God.
And yes. Then we're going to have Wiltshire on again, but I guess he's been told not to say anything else about Adam Morrison's survival bunker. So, yeah, you are the first returning guest, and we want to break down some of the NCAA action that's been going on, talk a little bit about what to expect in the Final Four. And my first question for you, Mark, is the Big Ten officially dead?
The Big Ten, yes. I mean, the Big Ten was the Big Ten ever alive, really, though?
No, they weren't. But, like, I try to be polite to Big Cat because he's
right.
God bless him. He just tries so hard to love his little Wisconsin team, but I think they've been dead for quite some time.
Big Ten basketball fans, and really it extends to football too, but we're the exact same way. Like Midwestern people in general, we like to shit on ourselves and our situations, but then we get real defensive when other people right. do it. You know? So, like when you see people arguing, when you see Big Ten fans arguing with other people, like the Big Ten's not that bad. They're just doing it because that's our like mechanism. We just defend ourselves. But really, when you get two Big Ten fans together to talk about Big Ten basketball, we know we're terrible. They won a title since 2000. We've had like every single program in the Big Ten has lost in the national championship. It's like the most devastating thing.
The biggest problem with the Big Ten, though, is I feel like, and you could probably speak to this as well, Mark, like it feels like every other year, every like third year, we're on the cusp of maybe coming back. But we're never really right. back. But it would be right. like, oh, wow, Michigan State's good this year. Wisconsin, like the Big Ten's loaded. The top five teams in the Big Ten are really good. Or like football, oh, wow, look, Ohio State, Michigan State could win a title. And then it all just crumbles like we're not back.
If the Big Ten couldn't have like the breakthrough year in 2013, when IU was like number one all year, Michigan ended up losing in the title game, Wisconsin was pretty good, Michigan State was good, Ohio State was in the Elite Eight. I mean, that was the year that the Big Ten was supposed to be basically what the ACC is this year,
yep.
and still didn't win the national title. At this point, like I would cheer for Michigan. I'm an Ohio State guy. I will cheer for Michigan if they're in the title game. I just want to see the Big Ten win something.
Absolutely.
Has it really been that long since Michigan State won a national yes. championship?
Yeah. 2000. Yeah.
The greatest trick that Tom Izzo ever pulled was making people think he was like a consistently great coach. Because if you had asked me like when was the last time Michigan State won a championship, I would have said 2008, just off the top of my head.
Oh, Tom Izzo. I have this whole thing about Tom Izzo, and I love Tom Izzo. He is. I mean, I have the same feelings about Tom Izzo that everyone else has. But he's like the only blue blood coach who gets a free pass by everybody. Like he's just universally beloved. Like Coach K, everyone hates how he's stuck up. Bill Self, people think he's a choker. You know, Calipari's a sleazeball. Patino's a sleazeball. Like
Patino has sex too quickly. Yep.
Everyone has shitty things to say about like every coach at a big time program except Izzo. When you get to Izzo, everyone's like, yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, I love him. I love that guy.
That's
he's
interesting. I never thought of that, but it absolutely is true. Like even, you know, Boeheim has people who oh, get yeah. on him. I mm-hmm. think it's probably because Michigan State is little brother in Michigan in itself. So it probably, and you know, East yeah. Lansing, they always have, they also, Michigan State always has like, also like the kids from Detroit that are like, you know, maybe not the best upbringings. They're all got really good stories and stuff. It's not like a Duke or, right. you know, a Kentucky where it's just these kids that you were born right. to hate.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say we should hate Izzo. I just think it's interesting how.
Yeah,
I'm thinking maybe we should start hating Izzo. Like get ahead of that curve. Like we can be the first to really lead that charge.
All right, let's talk about. We might have to do that. That might have to be the official stance of Pardon My Take now. Now that we know that yeah. no one hates Izzo, we'll be
fuck
the first.
Fuck Tom Izzo.
Yeah. We're going to start some rumors, too.
That
we're
going to.
Maybe we'll get Wiltshire back on and see if he can get some more rumors into the media. All right, let's talk about the Final Four. Obviously, the three out of the four teams we kind of expected to be there. You know, maybe not those three teams specifically, but the three really good teams. And Syracuse, who I think they went from what? They went from shouldn't have been in the tournament to mm-hmm. make some noise to now. Are they officially a team no one wants to play?
I definitely think so, yeah, right. They have to be, right?
I would say they're past that. They're no longer a team that you don't want to play. They're no longer a team that's making noise. They're a dangerous team right now.
Okay.
They're dangerous. Are there, are
no, 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 no. Here's where they are. They're at the point where throughout the record books. That's where Syracuse is. Yeah.
Are they peaking at the right time, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
But no, seriously, how has Syracuse done this? Like, obviously, Virginia was your team going into this tournament.
Yeah.
How have they done this the last, you know, four games, especially the last two games this weekend?
I was devastated. I feel like this happens every year. Not that someone goes to the Final Four, but there feels like a team every single year that shouldn't make the tournament, and everyone's mad that they're in the tournament and someone else should have been in their place. And then they limp their way into the tournament, and then they get hot and win a couple games. I thought Iowa was going to be that team because I'm an idiot and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I had that vibe about Iowa. I was like, you know, they were number one or two, or they were like ranked third or something like that. But they were in a one seed like a month ago. So I was like, Iowa's going to be this team. Turns out it was Syracuse. But like Syracuse's defense
to me is like R.A. Dickey's knuckleball. And when he's got it working, it's unhittable. But then when it's not working, he just gets fucking rocked. Like, that's how Syracuse – that's how I feel about Syracuse. And right now, like, the knuckleball's humming.
Well, it was interesting. It was interesting, too, because they basically sped that – they, like, suckered Virginia into that, like, sped-up game where they were kind of getting fast breaks, but they didn't want them. And Tony Bennett – I don't know. Tony Bennett was just standing there, like, thinking everything was fine. And the world was just, like, exploding around him. I've never seen anything like that.
What's the deal with – by the way, this is why I love college basketball and why a lot of people probably hate it, but why can nobody break a press in this sport? Like, this is amazing. This is – like, I just envision NBA fans watching this just, like, laughing hysterically at how can anybody watch this sport. But that's kind of why I watch it, because it is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like, how can you not break a press and how can you not beat a zone defense? Like, these are two things that you should be able to teach your players to do if you have, like, talented players. But for some reason, like, especially in March Madness, kids just freak out because they're 19-year-old kids at the end of the day. And so they're, like, they're very emotional and very very easy to get under their skin, I guess.
That definitely plays a part, the whole thing of knowing that when you lose, it's over.
Yeah,
and I think that definitely is – there's something to that, that the clock just starts ticking down. You see Syracuse starting to come back, and your asshole just starts to pucker up, and you're just terrified of what's coming.
Yeah.
But with that, I agree with you. The kids are like that. But Tony Bennett, to me, that I expected better out of Tony Bennett, especially because he is, in the last few years, become that like elite coach where he's got a program that's consistently in the top 10, consistently gets high seeds in the tournament. I felt like he lost control of that game and he just couldn't get it back.
I won't disagree. I noticed he only had like one timeout left with like 8 minutes left. So yeah. I don't know if part of him – the flip side of that is he has Malcolm Brogdon, who is – maybe the best player in the country, probably not, but he's certainly one of the top three players in the country in his backcourt. Then he has Parentes, who's been a starter for 3 years. So maybe he's just thinking, like, you guys are old and experienced and have won a ton of games. How are you going to screw this up? Just you go figure this out, and I don't need to waste my last time out. But, yeah, I was kind of confused by that, too. I'm just kind of sitting there crossing his arms.
Speaking of best players in the game, obviously Buddy Hield. I mean, he's going to be probably the biggest story going to the Final Four in terms of individual players. Two questions. One, can Oklahoma win it all? And two, if you are a team drafting in the top three next year, do you take Buddy Hield?
Top three, man. So Ingram and Simmons got to go 1 and 2, right? Are we deciding that? And
then, yeah, I guess we're saying that. I know there's a couple of European guys. I just think Buddy Hield, like, do you see Buddy Hield's game translating as well? I mean, he was unconscious on Saturday, and he's been unconscious all year. Do you think he's a guy who can still get his own shot and has all the other skills that will translate to the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because – what the Warriors are doing in the NBA, it might just completely screw everyone up with how they evaluate these guys. Like if Buddy Hield was coming out in 2008, I think he gets drafted, you know, 21st or something, because he's old. He for the most part has one skill set. I mean, he's better. He's good at everything, but there's like only one thing that you look at and you say he can definitely do this at an NBA level, which is shoot.
So, but then now you watch the Warriors and they're just raining threes and Steph Curry and he can create his own shot. So like, I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be a good pro. I don't know. It's crazy to, I don't think he's like, to me, he doesn't really, he doesn't seem that much better than JJ Redick was though. Does he? I mean, like, I know we all hate JJ Redick, but like,
no, you're right. But then again, I also would I would throw that back at you, and I think JJ Redick is a far better pro than people realize.
Right? Yeah, but no, I mean, like, I think Buddy will be good. He can average 15 a game in the league, but I don't know if I'd take him third. Which, by the way, you know, one of the European guys is named like Dragon Bender or something like that.
Yeah,
and that's like the greatest name. I'm so excited for this guy.
you got to take him just to sell the jerseys. I mean, that's like a Revell tweet on its way. Like, Dragon Bender is going to be worth this much just because of his name.
So on Oklahoma, you also have Ryan Spangler, and I want to talk about him for a second because this dude is. He has probably the worst tattoo that I've seen this year in college basketball on his shoulder. It's like a massive tribal design that I don't think he even knows what it is. And I feel like there needs to be an award every year for, like, I name it after like Kevin Pitsnoggle or something like that for like the shittiest, the Pitsnoggle award for the shittiest college tattoo. And I think without a doubt this year Spangler's got it. Unless I'm missing someone, I think he's got the worst tattoo.
It's got to be Spangler. I mean, and I think he knows it too. And the other thing about him is I don't know how many Oklahoma games you watch, but I've been watching him for years. The dude sweats like crazy.
Yes.
Like 2 minutes into the game, he's pouring sweat. He's got his bang sticking to his forehead.
Yep.
That kind of adds to the look, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's got the long spaghetti hair. Like he looks like he's wearing a bowl of like wet spaghetti every time, like 2 minutes into the game.
This is a guy that has never smoked a non-menthol cigarette in his life. He will for the rest of his life own like Honda Civics with racing seats. No matter how much money he gets paid, he's gonna have a Honda Civic Si and wear a lot of like oversized polo shirts. That's Spangler.
Yes, all the way button to the top, like orange polo shirts button to the top. All right, we hit two out of the four teams. Let's hit the other two. Is anyone beating UNC if they keep playing like they're playing?
No, I mean, like, UNC, the way to beat them is that they don't make threes, and for some reason they're making threes, and it's really frustrating. As a guy who grew up an IU fan and still cheers for IU, that was like the most frustrating thing ever, watching them just watching, because I watched North Carolina all year, and they would get wide open looks and just throw up bricks, and now Marcus Paige is hitting fadeaways off the dribble with a hand in his face. I mean, yeah, if they're shooting like that, yeah, no one's touching them. And by the way, I should say, like, I don't mean to say that North Carolina is lucky, but if you watch North Carolina games and with the idea that they're the luckiest team in the world, you start to like buy into that. Like all these bounces that they get. There's a play tonight. Kennedy Meeks on the free throw just like throws his, or was it Meeks or no, it was Isaiah Hicks. Isaiah Hicks just kind of throws his hand up and the ball like hits off his hand and goes in the basket.
Yeah.
I don't think I think they create their own luck because they're so good, but like, it's so frustrating sometimes.
I actually watched Notre Dame basketball like that. I was like, how the collapse, Wisconsin collapse. That was all luck for Notre Dame. The Stephen F. Austin, those bullshit fouls. I watched the same way. So we had like conflicting lucky teams going against each other.
Right. It's not like a rational thought. It's just something that as you're watching the team that you're cheering for getting destroyed or just like falling apart, you then start to see like, why is every bounce going North Carolina's way? Why is Notre Dame so lucky too? Yeah, I feel that way about North Carolina though. Like they had a couple threes that just like wedged into the rim in the backboard and then farted it their way into the goal and. One's touching them. But they shoot like they are. They're untouchable.
Let's give a little credit to Roy Williams too. Just like straight up gutting it out on that knee that he's got. Like he's saving his knee injury. He's saving his knee surgery for the postseason. This is a guy that is absolutely playing hurt right now and just leaving it all out on the court for his team. So let's give him a little bit of respect as opposed to you see Bray milking the walking boot on the sideline.
Right.
Making it all about him.
Bray, like going with the no shave look where he looked like he was on a bender for the last, month and a half. And Roy, I'll say this about Roy. He does have the knee and he also has the sneaky, he'll just faint at any time, which is like, we've talked about this on this show. If you have a coach that can just like get a dizzy spell, that's how you fire up a team. It's almost like getting in a fight in hockey. It's like, oh shit, our coach is about to die. We better like start, boxing out and actually, putting the ball in the hoop.
Yep.
Is Bray's facial hair situation, do you think that's better or worse than the turtleneck he used to wear all the time?
I can't talk too much shit about a guy's facial hair because I'm face bald. Like, it's an affliction that you know, many millions of Americans suffer from. But I'll say that it doesn't get much worse than the turtleneck. So I'm going to say the turtleneck is better.
But the look that he has now, or that he had because the tournament's over, it was not only the hair, it was the suit and no tie, where it looks like he has been, you know, like almost he looks like an accountant on like April 15th. You know what I mean? Who just goes up to the bar and is like, man, I've been working like 80-hour days. Mm-hmm. I can't catch a break. So yeah, that was a weird look. But I the Mike Bray turtleneck. I forgot about the Mike Bray turtleneck. That's an interesting look to have that be your thing, the turtleneck.
It can't be any worse. Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing Bray has in play is that he's balding and it's getting worse and he's slicking the hair back and he's kind of like, I feel like he's 5 years away from entering Jamie Dixon territory, and you don't want to be in Jamie Dixon territory where you're like completely bald and you just grow your bangs down to your chin and then throw it all the way back, you know?
It's almost John Taffer style. That's where John Taffer's got himself.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how Bray handles that situation. By the way, speaking of Roy, is Roy retiring after this year? Is that in play, Big Cat? Do you think this is something that could be in play?
Ah, if they win it all, he's getting old. It is true. He's getting old. He's got the dizzy. He's got the knee. And I feel like North Carolina, and I'm sure we'll get some angry North Carolina fans, they're like always on the cusp of some kind of scandal. So – and with those coaches, like, I'm surprised that Patino stuck it out this year. That felt like a Patino should have just retired. And so who knows what North Carolina has coming down the pike. Roy Williams knows better than we do. So, I feel like those kind of coaches always – the retirement play, like, and just being like, all right, I'm just going to go and die – in my house, and like no one can get mad at me anymore, is always in play.
But a scandal could kill Roy at any given moment. Yes. But I don't think Roy's as old as you think he is. I think he's only like 65 years old, but he's a hard 65. Like, that's a 65 that you get from living in Kansas for 20 years.
Right.
He's only 65. Yeah. Good point.
Wow. Interesting.
All right. Last team, my pet team, Villanova. I actually saw you had a funny thing to say. What was your tweet that when Grantland was around, like kissed Nova's ass last year?
Right. Yeah. So I got a bone to pick with you because I know you're leading the Villanova charge this year.
Do you know the history? Really frustrating for me. Do you know the history of it?
No, I don't.
So last year I said that Villanova is the most overrated team in the country and they're going to lose in the second round. No doubt in my mind, and all of Villanova Nation like bombarded me before the tournament started and said I was the dumbest person ever, and I never watched college basketball, and I like they're so good and they're so different. Then they lost to NC State. I danced all over Philadelphia's grave, like was ruthless to them. And then, out of the kindness of my heart, I said, "Listen, I'm going to join Villanova Nation, and I'm going to take us to the Final Four," and that's what I've done this year. I mean, it's been a miraculous run by me. Not to pat myself on the back.
That makes it even worse because last year I was all about Villanova. I thought Villanova was amazing. I thought no one respected them. I thought they were so good at all. They were great at offense. They were great at defense. They had it all. And then they lose in the second round, and I was devastated. So this year I was the exact opposite. I was like, fuck Nova. They broke my heart. And by the way, I feel like they weren't as good this year. Like, they're good compared to the rest of the field, but like, I think last year's team beats this year's team. So,
here's the only difference.
They don't have Pinkston or Hilliard now. But
yeah, the only difference I'll say with this team is I feel like Nova now, like, they drive a lot better than they have in the past, and they have a couple guys. Brunson actually hasn't played that great in the tournament, but he's a guy who, like, goes to the hoop. They have guys who can get their buckets not with just set shots at the three-point line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't disagree. I think – I don't know. Just to me, they're the same team. They just lost two seniors who were great. And so I'm just devastated that Grantland goes away, because I would have been talking about how great Nova was this year too, but Grantland doesn't exist for me to do that. So the fact that like I put my neck out there and they blew it last year, and then now when I have no forum to kind of praise them and they're doing great, it's really frustrating. So
you do right here. You do right here. You can join Nova Nation with me.
Yeah, like I love Villanova. They're so fun to watch. I'm probably cheering for them at this point, especially since like they got the little thing. They got like the little school thing going. Like even though they're in the Big East forever, they, you know, like no one. Let's be honest. Like no one really follows Big East basketball unless you're like into the Big East at this point. I mean, it's on all the games are on Fox and stuff, and I don't know. Like they're all tiny Catholic schools and stuff. So unless you're a fan of one of those things, like you're not really into it. I am because I like good basketball, but I feel like Villanova's got the disrespect card going a little bit more so than all the other teams. So
I love the disrespect card. It's the best card that you can play. I love that UNC was playing the disrespect card.
Kansas
the other day
was too. Yeah, Kansas was trying to play the disrespect.
Yeah, Kansas, the number one team in the country, was
That's every coach, though. You're not a good coach unless you play the disrespect card. It doesn't matter if you're undefeated. Like, I mean, you have to play the disrespect card at some point.
That's what we did when we were on top of the podcast listings, and ESPN came at us with that lawsuit. The response was, like, this is so disrespectful on your part to be coming at us when we're actually helping your ratings out. Yeah. you got to play that card.
All right. Let's wrap it up with a couple. Let's do some picks. And if you have any like tournament memories or anything you specifically have noted out there, I'll start. I'll get us going. I'm gonna have UNC and Nova in the final. I'm gonna give it to Nova. I'm gonna say Nova's just gonna find a way. The ghost of Raleigh Massimino, even though he's not dead, that's like I feel like we could get that going too. Just be like, yeah, this is for Raleigh. You know, rest in peace. And people are like, oh, yeah, they're doing it for Raleigh. So we should maybe get that going. And I'll say my biggest memory from the tournament is how bad Twitter, like, killed certain jokes, like the Yale-Duke jokes, the Perry Ellis jokes. The Perry Ellis jokes made me, like, actually physically angry last night.
You know what's funny?
Go ahead.
You know what's funny about Perry Ellis that I noticed is that he looks kind of old. And doesn't it feel like he's been at Kansas for, like –
It does,
years.
Yeah. No, that's
I just
a good
thought
point.
About that. Like, I was watching Kansas, and I had that thought about that. So, dude, that was interesting.
Dude, the worst people last night were the people who said, "Don't worry, Perry Ellis will get him next year." Like, I was slow to it, but I should have just started retweeting everyone because everyone was making that joke, and I wanted to just there's nothing worse than the Perry Ellis jokes.
All right, so I got the Sooners and the Tar Heels in the finals, and I got UNC winning. And like Oklahoma, their fans just really they'll forget about it like 2 weeks later that they were ever in the national championship game because they don't really give a shit about
because
basketball.
Bob Stoops will come rolling out with his visor and his tucked in polo and be like, "Oh, time for some Oklahoma football.
Time to play some ball, boys.
Time to lose big in some in the college football playoff and hear the Oklahoma fight song 500 times."
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with PFT Commander. I think – so I want Nova to win kind of, but then another part of me wants Buddy Hield to go up against North Carolina and just try to score 60 points in the title game. And that's kind of what I'm feeling. I feel like Buddy is just kind of – there's some destiny at play with him. So I want Buddy Hield to try to score 60 against Carolina and single-handedly beat them. And then I think he comes up short and Carolina does it. That's my pick. But then the one thing –
Do we lose you again?
About the tournament that I want to bring up, and we're going to have strong opinions on this. Have you noticed that Grant Hill, Jim Nance, and Bill Raftery call the games together. Grant Hill refers to Bill Raftery as coach.
Uh-huh.
This is noteworthy because Bill Raftery hasn't coached since 1981. He hasn't coached anything.
Right.
Yep.
Grant Hill was 8 years old in 1981. Yep. How do we feel about guys – referring to other – like what are the rules about calling guys coach?
I've thought about this because
– I only call my coaches coach. I don't – you know.
Right. Right. It makes sense when Mark Jackson is calling Van Gundy coach on ESPN or something like that. But, yeah, I've noticed this on Sunday Countdown where everybody calls Mike Ditka coach. And I think that's because, honestly, Mike Ditka genuinely believes that his name is coach at this point. Like – I think he introduces himself to like strangers, his accountant as Coach Ditka. Raftery seems like he's got his shit together a little bit more. So I'm on your side on that. If I'm going to make a judgment, I say it's a little weird that Grant Hill is calling somebody that has never coached him coach.
Okay, I'll disagree because I love when they bring up Dickie V as a coach, and they pull up that one picture of him at Detroit,
yeah,
the college, and yeah. Like it's like the 1 year that he coached, and I always love that. So I think that if you coach for 1 year, you get to decide if you want to be called coach or not. Like Grant Hill probably went up to was like, hey, you want Bill or coach? And Rafferty's probably like, you know what? Just really? Call me coach. No one else does.
I feel like Grant Hill's the kind of guy that looks up people's Wikipedia page before he like goes on camera with them and finds out if you were a coach at one point. And if you were, he goes out of his way to call you coach.
It feels to me like he's mocking Rafferty and Rafferty just doesn't know it. That's the vibe I get.
Ooh, if that's the case, then I'm very much against it because I love
Rafferty. Because
yeah.
Here's the question. Like if you run into Dickie V, are you going to call him Coach Vital? No,
I did run into Dickie V. We were at a frat house in Florida State, and he just strolled in and took a dump in the frat house and strolled right out. And he had cards. He had like business cards that were just a link to his Facebook. He was passing them out, and he was just like, "Hey guys, like hey." So instead of signatures, he was just giving everyone that. No one called him coach, so you do have a point there.
Right. So like, the question is, how long do you have to coach? How much? Like, where is your identity a coach? And if it's not, then why am I calling you coach? I don't know. The whole thing is just a mess to me. And Grant Hill was 8 years old when Bill Raftery last coached. That's like, that needs to be said. Bill Raftery would coach for like 4 years. He coached Seton Hall or something like that.
This is a good point. I feel like there do need to be some rules in place. So just make it easy for everybody. Like, obviously, if you win a national championship in anything, you can be coach
for
life.
You're coach for life. Yeah.
No matter what.
For sure.
Maybe so. if you have like, if you stick around for 10 years at the same school, I think you're also a coach at that point.
Yeah, you can be coach to those fans. Yeah.
It's a good question. It's a very good question I never even thought of.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah.
But so, I also will say this. There is the dynamic that like you always need a coach kind of on set, like around.
Right,
so Grant
right.
Hill is probably like, I'm a player. You know, Jim Nance is a media, you know, guy. And then Raftery's the coach. So everyone kind of falls into place.
That makes sense.
Way to give us a real brain buster on the way out. All right. Any last words?
No last words. I'm going to say I'm sad that I hope Grayson Allen comes back. I want to talk about Duke for a second. I want to shoehorn a Duke hot take in here. And I want to say I hope Grayson Allen comes back. I'm excited to hate him more next year. I feel like we just kind of,
yes,
you know, got a taste of hating him. I want him to come back with a full head of steam, a ton of hate, America's hatred behind him to start the season. So that's my last thought.
He absolutely has the chance to be the most hated Duke player of all time. And I know that's crazy to say because of Christian Laettner, but I'm talking about with internet culture, with winning a national title, with the tripping, with his face, the fact he looks like Ted Cruz. If he comes back and Duke is good and he like keeps tripping people, it would be so nice.
Duke's going to be the number one team in the country next year. They're going to be amazing. So I want him back. I want him leading the charge. Right. I want him like not understanding that he's not the best player on the team. Like they're going to have like three, you know, top 10 picks probably on the roster next year. And he's going to be the guy still chucking all the shots and stuff. I want his own teammates to hate him. Basically. I just want this to be like a collective, like let's all come together and hate Grayson Allen.
Right. He's like the Wario version of Wojciechowski.
Right.
And I feel like we'd be shortchanging ourselves if we didn't get another season of him.
Right. I agree.
I'm with you, man.
All right, Mark, thank you so much. Our plan, by the way, which we probably shouldn't have told you, but this is just what the plan is. We're just going to have you, you know, keep coming on until you're basically working for us and working for Barstool, but you're never going to get a paycheck. So that's our plan. So
that's like the exact opposite of what I'm doing at ESPN, which is not working and getting a paycheck.
There you go.
It balances out.
Interesting transition.
Yeah, working for us. All right, thank you, Mark Titus, for being on the show. He was brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is your number one place to get tickets online. I got a special promo code for everyone out there. This is the first time we've released this. It is TAKE. That's the promo code TAKE, and you get $20 off your first purchase on the SeatGeek app. You just have to download the app, put in promo code TAKE, $20 off. This is the first time we've done this ad. It's TAKE, $20 off. Everyone out there, get those tickets to the Final Four. Go to Houston, Nova Nation, get out there. I don't want to see any Carolina blue in the crowd.
go to SeatGeek, take $20 off. Now let's go into some segments. By the way, did you see that little trick I did? I said that was the first time I did that ad. That was like the seventh time I've done that ad. So
the SeatGeek, nobody knows.
You give people a little incentive where they, like, it kind of jolts them. They're like, ooh, this is a new ad. It's the same ad.
I think I need a new ad. I think I'm like the Lisa mattress ad.
You don't need a new ad. You just need to say you have a new ad, which I just did.
Right. I just feel like I've nailed the Lisa mattress ad so hard these last couple times that, you know, like there's nowhere for me to go but down right now. So
that's all I'm saying. Enough about our ads. we talk about our ads more than our ads ourselves. That's the only podcast out there that will break down how we do our ads for longer than our actual ads.
That's the extra mile we put in for all the people that sponsor us. So, like, that's why you want to sponsor Part of My Take. Like, this is natural organic content that we spit at you. Let's do some segments though. Let's talk PR 101. I want to talk about Coach K.
Yes. I have Coach K. Yeah, Coach K. Coach K. All right. So did you hear the whole story? Do you know the whole background story?
I do, yeah.
Everyone out there, after Oregon beat Duke, Coach K went up to Dylan Brooks from Oregon and said, you know, you're too good of a player to do that. You're too good of a player to showboat. All he did was hit a three at the end of the game when the shot clock was expiring. He had no other choice. And Coach K then in the post game said, I didn't say anything to him. Whatever he said, he was lying. Like, Dylan Brooks obviously repeated what Coach K said, and Coach K said, no, I didn't talk to him. He's just lying. He's making that up. Then it came out the next day, CBS cameras caught Coach K, video and audio of him saying it. And he then released a statement and was like, I apologize. You know, I talked to Dana Altman. I talked to the coach. So long story short, all you need to know for PR 101 is just say sorry and be Coach K, and everyone will suck your dick.
That's it. that's the entire thing. He's got such a sweet setup that everyone's like, he regrets it. Let's let him go. You know what else he could do? I talked last time about playing the I'm seeking treatment card. Yeah. Like, you can just say, I need to seek treatment for this and try to sort myself out. I don't think he can do that one here, but what he can do is say, I'm getting treatment for exhaustion. Like, at the end of the tournament, if you're in your 60s, and like if you spend 5 nights out of your house, if you're like 65, you can say that you're being treated for exhaustion, and everybody's going to buy it. So, like, just chalk it up to being really tired.
You can always get out the story that, like, you had to get an IV earlier that day. You know, whenever they're in the middle of a game, and they're like, ooh, well, Coach K had an IV this morning, so we're going to monitor that. It's like, okay, like you just get an IV. I'm going to just start having an IV every morning, blogging all day, and then be like, hey, guys, I had an IV this morning, so just so you know, like, something to look after. But the biggest point here is Coach K gets the largest pass of anyone ever. I actually saw people, like, they're like, oh, good enough for me. Like, Coach K said sorry. Fuck that, dude. He basically told a kid don't showboat and, like, don't show up the other team while showing up the other coach by coaching a kid that's not his kid. And that's Coach K to a T. Like, he's the sorest loser. When he loses, it's all about, you know, teaching the kids and being a motivator and, like, lessons, molding boys into men. And then when he wins, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the best ever. So fuck Coach K.
Right. And then he lied about it. And then he just apologized for lying. Actually, no, he didn't apologize for lying about it at all, did he? He just apologized for what he said to the kid.
And he didn't even lie about it. He did one worse than lying about it. He lied about it, but he also basically said the kid was lying. Yeah. So it wasn't even like he was lying and saying the kid was wrong.
So there's got to be dozens of Coach K scandals that have been covered up over the past 20 years, right? There's no chance that his program has been run as squeaky clean as we've been led to believe that it has.
I agree.
So
I've been waiting for the day. Waiting for the day. So,
and he's a guy that will probably die within, like, a couple months of a scandal coming out.
Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Coach K's a Joe Puff for sure. He would definitely just roll over and die if he ever got a scandal.
Yeah, so get to work at uncovering those scandals, Durham area press people.
And PR 101 is just be Coach K or get an IV in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. You're exhausted. That's it.
PodcastOne.com is proud to be the nation's largest ad-supported network, providing you over 200 of your favorite shows with limited commercial interruption. And guess what?
What?
Now, we're going to give you even more.
No. Yes.
That's right. For less than the cost of a dozen Krispy Kremes,
you can now fill your face with Podcast One Premium,
our newest edition, which gives you access to exclusive commercial-free interviews from big names like Seth Rogen, Bryan Cranston, Charles Barkley, Vince Vaughn, Mark Wahlberg, Steph Curry, and more.
Amazing!
Plus original content from our biggest shows, not available anywhere else on the planet.
That's not all. Unlimited access to over 3,000 archives, a chance to ask your favorite host anything you want, and possibly even meet them.
Wow.
So now you can have it both ways.
Listen like you always have and spend a little cash supporting our sponsors.
Yes, thank you.
Or spend even less and get a whole lot more with Podcast One Premium.
The choice is yours.
Sign up for premium now at PodcastOne.com.
What do we got next?
I want to do spoilers. So spoilers was a huge hit last week when we did it for the first time. And I think I know why. I think it's because, like, you ever watch those shows that's the magician revealing his tricks on Fox?
Yep.
And you're really, really amped up to see what the trick is. And then after the trick comes out, you're like, oh, well, that's kind of fucking disappointing. Like, why did I watch that? That's a very easy trick to do. And I feel like that's the same, like, endorphin rush that we're giving listeners when we're talking about spoilers. They're like, oh, they're about to ruin it for me. And then when we ruin it, they're not really happy and they're not really sad. They're a little bit disappointed that that's all it was. But still, you get that high of that endorphin rush leading up to it. So if we got spoilers, let's spoil some movies that are – What's the rule? Like more than 5 years older?
More than five years old. What do you got?
I want to spoil Crash.
Oh, okay. I've never Oscar seen it. Award so that winning. Sucks for me, but here we go.
Okay. So at the end of Crash, Ryan Phillippe shoots a black guy, but he also helps a black guy not get shot by the cops. And Ludacris frees a Chinese family from the human slave trade market. And Matt Dillon is very racist to black people, but also he's not racist anymore because he frees a black woman from a trapped car. And then I think Don Cheadle does something with like the district attorney's office that nobody really cares about. And
this is one of those movies where there's a bunch of things happening at once.
Yeah, and it's all connected. And then there's an Arab American guy that hires a locksmith, a Mexican locksmith, and he thinks that he gets cheated by it. So he goes to the gun store, buys a gun, buys bullets, goes to the Mexican guy's house, tries to shoot him. But the Mexican guy's daughter gets in between, like his like 3-year-old daughter, and the guy fires his gun into the 3-year-old.
Did she get killed?
But the bullets that he bought were blanks. He didn't know that he bought blanks.
Oh.
Because he got into an argument with a shopkeeper, and he just goes, "Give me those bullets."
Plot twist.
And so basically, the bottom line is there's no such thing as racism anymore at the end of it because everybody does things that are kind of racist, but also not racist. So it's like everybody in America is so racist against each other that we're not racist at all anymore.
Wow.
It's a heartwarming story.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I don't need to see it now that it's solved racism. And also, nice little spoiler for me that Ludacris was in the movie. Didn't know that.
great performance.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thanks for spoiling that for me, too. All right, Hank, what do you got?
My spoiler is The Departed, and basically, every single person except for Mark Wahlberg dies.
Yes, yeah. True. Mark Wahlberg kills Matt Damon at the end.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's
great scene is Leonardo DiCaprio getting out of that elevator and just immediately getting shot. Like you don't see a main character get killed that quickly and that randomly in most movies. Right. That was great. Yeah.
Right. And then what's his name? The head of. The police, Leo's friend, gets thrown off that building. That kind of sucked for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. My movie was going is Fight Club. Great movie. Great movie. Edward Norton is Brad Pitt. They're the same guy. Just disassociation personality. So the Edward Norton thinks like he met this guy, Tyler Durden, but it's really just him. So there you go. That's Fight Club. Good movie, though. Everyone should check it out.
go check it out. It's a great movie. Great ending.
Great movie. Great movie. There's the exact same guy. Edward Norton just seeing the whole time.
So, Hank, last time we did this game, you had never heard of American Beauty. Have you heard of Crash? And have you heard of whatever Big Cat's movie was? I already forgot what it was.
Yep. Seen them both many times.
Fight Club.
So I got spoiled with Crash. So, but I'm not mad. That's the thing with spoilers. No risk it, no biscuit.
Crash is one of those movies that
says – that's spoilers.
Crash is one of those movies that I've seen like many times and still am kind of confused on how it ends.
All you got to know is that racism's over at the end. Like, all by the time.
Hank, if you want to know how it ends, just listen to Pardon My Take.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. What I like to do is I like to just play Tupac's Changes at the end of the movie and just put it on mute. And then I feel like we're all living in harmony together. And it's great. It's a great way to wrap that movie up. So we got any more, segments today?
Yeah, we got one last one. Hurt or injured. We have the Brewers player, Will Smith, tore his knee while taking off his shoes. Smith said he was getting ready to shower after pitching in a minor league game Thursday, was standing on one leg to take off his other shoe when he lost balance and twisted the knee. I pulled hard on the shoe and it stayed on. My knee just went up and popped. Everyone tells you there's nothing you can do about it, but you feel like you're letting people down. Well, yeah, you are definitely letting people down when you tear your knee taking your shoe off. Hurt or injured, though?
I'm going to go with hurt. Like, he's a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a pitcher. You don't pitch with your knee, right? You pitch with your shoulder, and you pitch with your hips. More importantly, you pitch with your hips. So, like, I feel like you could pitch for, like, at least 2 weeks on a torn ACL. Philip Rivers played a playoff game. People forget that a lot of times.
He had
a torn ACL. Was it Nate Solder or was it another Patriots lineman that had a torn ACL?
Yep.
Yeah, played all season on a torn ACL. So, like, you're a pitcher. I feel like you should be able to pitch. And this is actually not the first baseball injury that has resulted from taking shoes off. Because Wade Boggs missed, I think, like a week because he strained his back when he was, like, putting shoes on.
Baseball players are the best at this. This is a classic spring training. Baseball players hurt or injured. Chris Sale did it last year getting off his truck. By the way, the nice thing with baseball players is you just never know if they actually are this dumb, because they could be, or if they're just drunk. Like, Chris Sale broke his foot getting off his truck. It's like he probably was hammered. You know what I mean?
Right. So, he was jumping out of the bed of his truck.
Right. But then, like, Sammy Sosa, like, tore his back with a sneeze. And, like, I think it was there was a famous one where someone burned themselves ironing a shirt they were wearing. I want to say it was John Smoltz.
I don't know if that's a Smoltz move, but yeah, absolutely. Like, you can actually look up a list of bizarre baseball injuries, and they're pretty great. Like, Ken Griffey Jr. missed a game because his cup slipped and it pinched one of his nuts.
Oh, I actually know that feeling. That's not a good feeling.
Well, a twisted testicle, like, is that really an actual thing? Because, like, I've twisted my testicles before just because I'm bored. And, like, maybe I'm out of the shower and I'm just, like, laying down in bed or whatever, just, like, checking my nuts out or whatever.
That's an interesting thing to do while you're bored, but okay.
Well, you've never played with your balls when you're bored.
No, I do. I just wouldn't twist them. I wouldn't be like, hey, let's see how far I can take this.
You've never done that.
No. What?
I do that, like, once a month.
Now the whole autoerotic asphyxiation thing.
That's a hard word to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't do it well, but I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. Now that whole thing that you keep bringing up makes a lot more sense.
Well, so I've never twisted it 360 degrees, but I've gotten it over 200 degrees
before.
Did you
do the 180, bruh?
Yeah, I've done a 180. I've flipped the script on my nuts. I've reversed poles.
Goofy style? What is it when you do it? What was it on Cool Borders when you did – Hank, you probably know this. When you skateboard, like, Goofy style, what is it called?
Called Goofy.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Goofy.
Yeah, I
fell out there, but I'm good.
I was goofy in my nuts. Yeah, you can get it over 180 degrees. Like, I'm shocked that you haven't tried this before. But, like, so is twisting a testicle really an injury? I'd say that's more of a hurt.
Yeah, probably more hurt. What else you got on that list?
Let's see. Reliever Steve Sparks dislocated his shoulder, ripping a telephone book in half while emulating a motivational speaker.
That's amazing.
How do you dislocate your shoulder tearing a book? I don't get that.
Have you ever tried to tear? Like, if you get over maybe 25 pages, you could definitely hurt yourself.
Right. No, like, I have tried to tear a phone book and I haven't gotten very far at all, but I don't know how, like, the shoulder gets involved in that. Let's see. We've got Ricky Henderson missed several games in August for frostbite. Don't know how that happened.
He was probably, like, standing in a cooler or something. Or he was probably, like, fell asleep with his foot in
in the cold
ice bath.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cubs pitcher Ryan Dempster went in the DL with a fractured big toe while trying to jump the dugout railing to celebrate a victory. That's pretty benign.
Yes.
That
was just Dempster, though, just being good. Like, Dempster's that goofy guy, you know? It's like, ha-ha.
And then pitcher Jamie Easterly started a new workout regimen at home in Crockett, Texas in the 1980s. One drill was backwards running, and he stepped in a gopher hole and hurt his back.
There it is. See, that guy was just drunk.
Yeah.
That's one of those ones that you just make up such an elaborate lie, like, oh, yeah, I got this new workout, and I fell. You just say you're drunk, because his contract would get fucked up if he's like, yeah, I was super drunk and I was just fucking around with my friends and I hurt myself. I feel like most baseball players just get drunk and like do stupid shit with their friends like they're still in high school. So
he was hammered playing paintball in his backyard, and like he made the gopher hole part might be accurate.
Yes. There's always a little bit of truth in every lie, right?
Yeah. And it seems a little convenient that he was like actually working out at his house in his downtime. You know, save that for the gym.
Baseball players are the perfect hurt or injured. Do we have anything else?
For hurt or injured, I think that's it.
Any other segments, any other words we need for Monday to get everyone going? We actually have a good week this week. We're going to hopefully have a couple good – we have a guest on Friday. We're working on a really good guest on Wednesday, which might come through. And I think we might see Mike Portnoy this week. We probably have some legal things that we need to sort through at some point.
Yeah, we got ourselves in some hot water again, apparently.
We got ourselves in some – we're not in hot water, but we are part of the hot water.
I'll be honest with you. If a week goes by where we're not being threatened with a lawsuit, I look at that as a failure.
Yeah, we haven't been threatened with another lawsuit, but let's just say our show is – part of like our show is the spark that may have started another lawsuit.
We would probably have to give depositions in this lawsuit.
But not without our lawyer present.
That's right. So this week I'm also going to be, it looks like I'm going to be in Milwaukee for a little bit.
Oh.
The GOP debate is on Tuesday night, or it's like more of a town hall thing. So I'm going to try to get in and try to ask a question to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Kasich if I can.
Save it for the show. We'll play it on the show. Save
there you go. So if you're in Milwaukee and you have tickets to this debate, let me know.
Okay, perfect. And you'll save the audio. And then I'm going to leave us with a Rick Riley tweet. We don't get these very often. He doesn't fire him off. But he's only got like a few thousand tweets. He waited a full like 24 hours after the Badgers lost, and then he fired this one off. This is my favorite Riley, when you can tell that he's been workshopping a joke for a really long time. He wrote, "Yeesh, the Badgers. I haven't seen that many giveaways since Oprah." So this joke is so good for so many levels. It took him like 24 hours to come up with it.
Yeah.
The giveaways he's referencing here, the Badgers, had a couple turnovers at the end of the game, which we all saw. Oprah used to give away stuff on her show, but the show hasn't been on for like 5 years. So it's just perfect, Riley. He nailed every part of it. He had like, it took him too long. It's lame. It's an outdated reference. It's Riley through and through. So I just want to tip my hat to Riley. We don't get him very often.
Well, I want to give Riley a little bit of credit here for making like a turnover joke without like incorporating ISIS in some shape or form, because he usually likes to do that. He's like, if a quarterback's overthrowing people or if there are a lot of turnovers, he's like, turnovers, boy, we could sure use some turnovers in the regimes in the Middle East, like in ISIS. Like, he'll just straight up drop 3 or 4 ISIS jokes a year. So I admire his restraint and in keeping it to more timely modern reference in Oprah.
All right, Riley, hopefully we get another one soon. You never know. It's like Haley's Comet. Every like few months, you'll get a really good Riley tweet. So, all right, thanks everyone for listening. We will see you on Wednesday.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.